When the Lord Jesus told the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, he concluded with a remarkable word. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, but whosoever humbleth himself, he shall be exalted. And that was true, was it not? For in the parable, the Pharisee stood there in front of the temple. With his words, he said that he was thanking God. But he was not thanking the Lord at all. And neither was he praying. He really meant that the Lord should be thankful unto him because he was so good. He exalted himself. He had no need of grace, no need of a Savior. But what happened in the end? What was his portion? He was forever abased and he perished. But then that publican, he stood in the back of the temple. He did not lift up his eyes unto heaven, so ashamed, so guilty, smiting upon his breast. He said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And see, he was exalted. Oh, the Pharisees despised him. He despised himself even more. He humbled himself because by God's grace, the Spirit had humbled him. And then at last, how did he go home? Justified, it says. Then the Lord gave him mercy. The Lord did exalt him. What a lesson that is for all of us. A lesson, an admonition that we should inquire in our heart and examine ourselves. For both the Pharisee and the publican were in the temple. And yet between them both ran that line of separation. And so it is now. There are two kinds of people in church. There are those whom the Lord humbles and they humble themselves. They shall be exalted. There are those who exalt themselves and they shall be forever abased. And to whom now do we belong? To the Pharisees? Or do we belong to those publicans? In the history that we have been considering, the same thing becomes so clearly manifest. And may then the Holy Spirit lead us, grant us life, grant us a forfeited and necessary blessing. We go again to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, the verses 21 through 26. There we read, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he, answering, said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. They glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Thus far, we have been speaking about Jesus' mercy to the one taken with palsy. And we have already considered Jesus' dealings with that man. And we saw him coming to the Savior because he was drawn by the Savior. And that was mercy. And then he also was surprised by that Savior with a great blessing. For the Lord spoke unto him for his soul, and that was mercy. And what remains now for this morning, that the Lord will show mercy by confirming that man sick of the palsy, and that is surely a merciful dealing as well. So in this morning hour, the Lord's dealing with this man taken with the palsy, confirming his mercy. Wondrous and merciful had been those dealings of Jesus in the life of this man taken with the palsy. Here on earth he had a life of misery. It was a hopeless and a helpless case. We will not enlarge that now this morning. And the Holy Spirit uncovered unto him the cause of it, his sin, his fall. But the Lord had also provided friends unto this palsied sinner. And they were soul friends. They had spoken to him about Jesus. And they had brought him to Jesus. And his heart had begun to long for that Jesus. And why? Oh, his bodily needs were no longer chief. No. The great need of his heart was his soul on the way to eternity. Because his sins were more than he could count. And he could not make it right between the Lord and his soul. That was so impossible. And now the Lord had drawn him. And he ended up that low place at the feet of the Savior. And there he saw Jesus. And then beyond all expectation, Jesus began to speak. And Jesus showed unto him his blessings. What Paul says, that it is above and abundantly, above all the expectations that he could think or ask. And what was the word that the Savior spoke? Son, remember. Be of good cheer. And also, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Are there now jealous people? I do not mean envious, but that there has been a holy jealousy in your heart, that you have begun to yearn for that blessing, to know also far from east as west is distant, he has all our sins removed. Are there some not a stranger to those blessings and leadings? And what is it then that is the great longing in the soul of that sick man, of that palsied man? You say, but he has received the blessing. For blessed is he whose trespass has freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. It is true, but he still lay there. He still could not walk. He still could not rise. So there was still something missing in that man that was sick of the palsy. And now we follow the history. And the scribes and Pharisees, remember, they were sitting in that house, right close where the Lord Jesus was preaching the truth. And why had they now come? Oh, they were not concerned about their soul on the way to eternity. They were not desirous to hear the preaching of the truth, rather. They came with criticism. They came with enmity. They came with all kinds of questions and distrust. And they had seen in front of their eyes that the roof was broken up and that this palsied man was let down in front of the seat, in front of the feet of the Savior. And that was a poor sinner. And they had heard also what the Lord Jesus said unto him. And what do we read? The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. They did not begin to believe. They began to reason. They did not believe it. They murmured. They scoffed. They were in such enmity and disagreement. What do they say? Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Congregation, does that happen in your heart? Should I not ask, have it been uncovered unto us in our heart that we also speak against the Lord? That we reason and we reason and we disagree and we have something here to say and something there. Just like these Pharisees. Oh, then we are in the wrong spot in our soul. That is for sure. They said two things. Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? And who can forgive sins but God alone? Do they not have the scriptures on their side? Does it not say in Isaiah 43, I, even I, which he that blotteth out thine iniquity as a cloud? Did not Nathan say unto that guilty David, the Lord has also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die? Those scriptures are true. Who can forgive sins but God alone? That is also true. But they made the wrong application. They tried to make that application themselves. Because the Lord was good and their eye was evil. What an awful thing that is. If our eye is evil because the Lord shows his goodness and his grace unto a poor sinner, oh, then indeed, here this poor man, sick of the palsy, had received that great blessing. And he had heard that from Jesus. And who was Jesus? Not a blasphemer, no. Who was Jesus? He is God alone. Oh, he is the eternal Son of God. He is God blessed forever. But these scribes and Pharisees show their wicked unbelief. Oh, and Jesus knows it immediately. Because he looked inside their very hearts. Oh, Jesus was rejected by them, but he knew exactly how it is inside. And do not those Pharisees know the scriptures? Oh, they could say many texts. Was it not clear that the seed of the woman had to come and he would bruise the head of Satan? Did not Isaiah call him Wonderful Counselor, but also the Mighty God? Do we not read later on in the New Testament that Christ God, who is above all God, blessed forever? Oh yes. But we are blind by unbelief, and so were the scribes and Pharisees. That is enmity against God and against God's grace. These scribes, these doctors of the law, did not know their sin, thought they had no sin, and therefore they had no need of a Savior, no need of grace. And if we now add something, congregation, then it is this. The scribes and Pharisees did not accuse Jesus openly of that blasphemy. They accused him inwardly. Oh, on the outside they were sitting there, the religious leaders, but they wore a mask. They had a feigned religion. It was not upright and not sincere. Oh, and Jesus, they do not acknowledge him to be the Son of God. Well, what is that? That is blasphemy. What they accuse Jesus of is what they are guilty themselves of. And nevertheless, they do not even say that openly. Now, if the honor of God was really their concern, should they not have spoken up? Should they not have warned? Should they not have said it? But they keep their mouth closed. Oh, what does the Bible now say? But Jesus perceived their thoughts. In Mark it is, immediately he perceived those thoughts. And they were evil thoughts. Oh, yes. They were reasoning within themselves. What a warning that is for us. Because we may have things hidden that no one knows, and yet the Lord sees right in the recesses of our heart. He knows all the secrets within. Before him, it is all naked and open, and we cannot hide that before him. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, "What reason ye in your hearts?" In Matthew he says, "What, wherefore think ye evil in your thoughts?" That is how faithfully the Lord deals. He uncovers. He points out sin. He shows it very openly. And then he makes sure. He shows them that it is enmity and it is their blasphemy and it is their unbelief that is sin. Has it ever happened to you that the Lord spoke and that the Lord uncovered how it is within? You know what we have to be taught? Jeremiah said it, deceitful is the heart. That is so dreadfully wicked, who can know it? But then here, then the Lord speaks. I, the Lord, search the heart and I try the reins to give unto everyone according to their ways and according to the fruit of their doings. Oh, when the Lord makes that to be true within congregation, and then we have to go upside down. And then we stand there guilty, ashamed, then we must bow. Then we are condemnable sinners before God. But alas, that was not the case with these scribes and Pharisees. And again, that question, has it now ever become the case with you? By nature, we maintain ourselves. And we must not look down upon these Pharisees and scribes, because in our heart, we all are exactly the same. Unless the Lord grants us to bow before Him, unless the Lord grants us to confess our sin before Him, then we will not accept what the Lord, what His Word teaches us. But Jesus continues, and He says, whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise up and walk. So the Lord put a question. The Lord made a choice for these Pharisees. And which one is now easier, to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise up and walk? For these Pharisees, that was an easy question. Think about it. They hear, thy sins be forgiven thee. You could not see that, so you could not prove that. But that other thing, to say unto that man sick of the palsy, rise up and walk, that would have to be proven. And then the man would have to rise, or he could not. Oh, you can imagine these Pharisees and scribes sitting there with stone faces if they did not openly show their enmity. They surely will not have shown any agreement with that Savior. But Jesus continues, but. Oh, the Lord knows exactly what is in the heart of the scribes and of the Pharisees, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Is that not a wonder? That the Savior bows down so low, that unto these hardening sinners He will testify who He is, what power and what authority that He is. And He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins upon earth. That means, I will counter your blasphemy. I will counter your unbelief, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. The Son of Man. That is a name which the Lord Jesus gives Himself. He was and remained the Son of God. But He was sent down to this earth. He assumed the human nature. And now He is also the Son of Man. So that points out to those scribes and Pharisees that Daniel 7 was fulfilled, because there the Messiah is called the Son of Man. And that Son of Man came down to this earth, was sent by His Father. He assumed the human nature into personal union with His divine. And then He condescended to men of low degree. He was willing, voluntarily willing, to bow so low. He became the mediator between God and man. And consider what that now is for poor, humbled, guilty sinners who cannot stand before God, who cannot face the Lord and live. That is impossible, for he is a consuming fire. But now Jesus, who is that Son of God, also becomes the Son of Man. There you have the mediator between God and men. Oh, and then you read, he said unto the sick of the palsy. How has the Lord now been dealing with that man? When he was let down before him, then the Savior looked upon him and he saw his and the faith of those other four friends. And he began to speak unto him those words of mercy. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And now he leaves him there. He does not say anything more. Then he turned his attention to the scribes and to the Pharisees. That palsied man had to learn a lesson that God's children have to learn time and again. Wait. Wait upon the Lord. Wait for the Lord's time, because we have no reasons. We have no worthiness. We have nothing that we can bring before the Lord. He is sovereign and he alone. But then the moment came, because the Lord would not tarry and forsake him. No, the Lord begins, and he shall also finish that work that he begins in the hearts of all his people. We see it here. And then he turned and he said unto the sick of the palsy. What instruction that is. Because the Lord spoke. And this was now the second time in the life of that man. He spoke. And congregation, what shall it be in our life if the Lord has never spoken in our heart? Or we hear it with our ears? And we may observe it in the dealings of the Lord in the realm of creation. Not to despise that. We do not hearken to that by nature. But here it is different. The Lord has come in the heart of that man. And in this history we read twice that the Savior speaks unto him. And that is a solemn moment. We will have to know that the Lord himself speaks, declares our case, and instructs us to make us wise in the way of salvation. Then he says, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. What was that now for these scribes and Pharisees? Because Jesus is speaking to them, and then he turns to that man at his feet, and then he speaks these words. Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. You know what that was for these scribes and Pharisees? All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. I am my Father's Son, and he has sent me to this world. And he has given unto me that authority. It is not as if I speak against my Father. No. But I glorify my Father. I speak on his behalf. And I declare to that man, arise up and walk. That is my proof. And I have spoken unto that poor man, thy son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, and therefore, I have that power. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Arise up and walk. It is clear that the Savior is the Son of God and the Son of Man. But the Lord spoke it unto that man sick of the palsy. That man with that great blessing in his soul. and yet unable to arise, unable to walk, still bound. What was that now for him? We sing.